Jacob Tomsky never intended to go into the hotel business. As a new college graduate armed only with a philosophy degree and perhaps a lack of career direction, he became a valet parker for a large luxury hotel in New Orleans. Yet rising fast enough through the ranks, he ended up working in hospitality for more than a decade, doing everything from supervising the housekeeping department to manning the front desk in an upscale Manhattan hotel. His new book is Heads in Beds, a reckless memoir of hotels, hustles, and so-called hospitality. The book is published by Doubleday. Jacob Tomsky, welcome to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Give us a sense of the mission that you wanted to accomplish with Heads in Beds.
Sure. I just wanted to sort of encapsulate everything I've learned about the hotel business, all the tips and tricks and ways you can get the most out of your stay, all the crazy stuff I've seen from insane guests to celebrities, and put it together in one cohesive memoir about my life in the industry that hopefully, when the reader is done with it, will make them see the hotel in a brand new way.
In a good way?
In a good way, absolutely. There's wonderful stories. There's terrible stories. I mean, it's the reality of life there. It's a comprehensive look. And sometimes what you see is not what you want to see, but it's true nonetheless.
Well, it's interesting because in reading the book, I felt it difficult to quite get a take of how you felt of whether you were fond of those days or very happy that they have passed.
Yeah, I think I'm split, especially now that I'm no longer actively involved in the hotel business. You know, I miss the life. It's so exciting, and the schedules are flexible. New guests every day. You never know what you're going to deal with, and I miss that kind of excitement. But then there's the other side of the coin: the abuse, the mental abuse, and the physical tiredness of it all. And there's quite a bit about that job that does a good job towards making me exhausted, but also making me happy. And I miss it, and I'm glad I'm gone. So I feel ambivalent as well.
When we talk about the hotel industry and the business, obviously there are 1-star, 2-star, 5-star, 10-star hotels. So are they all created equal in some way? Do they all have commonalities?
Yeah, I would say a hotel is a hotel is a hotel, just in the same way, all fast food industry restaurants are going to be alike in a very central way. Now, obviously, it does vary by property and the type of services available and what you should tip and things of that nature. But in general, it's the same housekeepers and front desk agents.
When you became a part of this industry, and as I mentioned in the introduction, really working your way from the bottom up, is that typically how it works for someone?
I think so. I started actually in valet parking cars, and I think that was a weird way to come in sideways, and then to go from parking cars to the front desk. But, the wonderful thing about hospitality is that it offers a good starting pay, and you really don't need any kind of formal training at all. You just pick it up on the job. So I think, yeah, a lot of people start wherever they start, usually at the front desk or as a bellman, and then you can just, the whole world of the hotel is open to you, and you can advance as you learn.
How can the average person listening to us right now, when going to a hotel, be a good guest?
I think it starts with kindness. I think it starts with understanding what our jobs are and how you can utilize us best. I mean, it's just an interconnected hive of people, and oftentimes people ask the wrong person for the wrong things. And if you come in rude, there's 1,000 ways that we can wreck your stay. And if you can't manage to be kind, then you should probably manage to be generous, because it's a money world out there, and that's another good thing to do, is offer a little bit of cash, especially if you're feeling irritable or need something special.
What is it about the irritability, do you think? What is it in us that believes that since we are paying for a night that everything should be perfect?
I think there's something primal that happens to people when they come to a hotel. They feel like they're at home, but yet they feel like the god of that home, because they'll treat the room in ways they would never treat their own room, and they feel as if they have a staff of servants and things like that. And for some people, it really just awakens some sort of desire to rule the domain, which is really interesting and can be terrible. But there's something primal in a hotel life.
Okay, so if we come in and we're nice and we have a lot of bills in our pocket, what can we expect from you, the hotel?
Well, I think one of the points that I make is the front desk is an undervalued position. A lot of people are tipping the bellman and the doorman and the concierge. But, you know, people need to focus on the fact that the front desk agent is the person that's finding your room. All that tapping on the keyboard, it's not idle tapping. That what they're doing is that you're scheduled in a dirty room. They're finding a clean room for you. And there's variations in the rooms. So it's important to be kind to them because they're the ones that are going to decide if you have the corner suite with the view of the river or the view of the park, or if you're next to an ice machine or an elevator, or they could even be aware that that some of the items in the room aren't functioning properly and could put you in a bad room because you've acted inappropriately.
When you think about acting inappropriately, and as you write in the book, I mean, it seems like you've heard about or seen it all, I think.
Yeah.
And you talked about this a moment ago of what it is that I guess perpetuates what allows people to act this way, but when it comes to the hotel itself, have you seen a change in service? I mean, there was a time when the hotel industry was something that you went through your travel agent. Now it's mostly in our hands. Have things changed dramatically in that regard?
I think so. With the advent of sort of bulk internet bookings, that's created a situation where there's a division between someone who books at a specific property because they chose it and a discount seeker that booked because it was at the top of a price list. And then you've got both of those people at the same hotel. And, of course, the hotel is going to take a little bit more preference to someone that chose them out of their own volition. So that's changed the industry. And then, obviously technology has changed the industry. But in general, when it comes down to service, service is always service. And, a polite desk agent and a smile and someone remembering your name and welcoming you back, these are the standards of hospitality. And in general, that has remained the same.
When people come to you, come to that front desk, and, traveling, maybe you know this, Jacob, is usually horrible. And it can be dreadful. So and not to justify it, but people can come in a little irritable, tired, and they've been jerked from one way to another here, trying to get from point A to point B. So they arrive in the hotel, and that period of walking through the door and then getting to the room. That should be easy, right? How do you make that as easy as possible?
Well, I do understand, as a traveler, and I think oftentimes, you're sitting on the tarmac and you're stuck. There's nothing you can do. You almost can't even go to the bathroom. So the walking into the front desk of a hotel marks the first time where you are now in control again. So oftentimes I can understand some anger gets displaced there, especially if it doesn't go perfectly. But in the same way that it's impossible to run an airline perfectly, a hotel is a series of interconnected parts. Everyone has requests, and it's a game as a hotelier to please everyone when you cannot please everyone. You can't give everyone a corner suite. You can't give everyone exactly what they want. So it does. You are going to run up against problems, and that's where understanding, reading heads in beds hopefully will help you understand what the hotel is going through and how you can use that to advantage. Maybe it's possible if you don't want a small room, you can wait a bit longer and get a larger room. Or, there's a thousand ways to do and treat people that, should you find yourself in a situation where you're already upset and ragged out, the hotel can get behind you. And having us as your ally is incredible. It can change your stay.
Is there, and I guess it's what you're looking for in an experience, but I was booking a room in New York recently, and they came back and said, I'm sorry, the room that you requested is not available. Can we upgrade you? And they went from the $350 room to the $3,000 room.
Nice.
I mean, is it ever worth that kind of money, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a room?
It can be more than that, and you know, that always surprised me working in a, you know, when I, during my time at a high-end luxury hotel, you know, I had you know, boxers, like, you know, famous boxers and just professional athletes and celebrities, and it amazed me how they would drop $15,000 a night on a suite, you know, and it's gorgeous. And then the funny thing about those people is that they're just about town. So here you've got people paying the premium rates and they're never even in the room. Whereas, you know, someone like you or I, if I was, you know, if I'm the opportunity to have some kind of luxury suite, I'm going to pretty much try to stay in there the whole time. But they will pay for that, and then they will never be there. It's an interesting, I suppose it has to do with your bank account and, you know, how full it is.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Heads and Beds is the name of the book, a reckless memoir of hotels, hustles, and so-called hospitality. It's published by Doubleday. Jacob Tomsky, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Heads and Beds, published by Doubleday. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.